Do you have any problems in your life right now?
No.
We have problems. And the Bible obviously deals with many of those problems that we encounter. At this point in Israel's history, in Hosea chapter 13, they had a major problem. And there was an avenue that God had for them to deal with that problem. You know, we have problems in our lives, and if we're going to overcome those problems that we have in our lives, they must be dealt with correctly. And tonight I'd like to look at some truths that will help us to deal with the problems that we face in our lives so we can have victory over them instead of being defeated by them. Hosea chapter 13, and we'll read verses 9 through 14. Hosea 13, verses 9 through 14. It says, O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. I will be thy king. Where is any other that may save thee in all thy cities, and thy judges of whom thou saidst, Give me a king and princes. I gave thee a king in mine anger, and I took him away in my wrath. The iniquity of Ephraim is bound up, his sin is hid. The sorrows of a travailing woman shall come upon him. He is an unwise son. For he should not stay long in the place of the breaking forth of children. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. Repentance shall be hid from mine eyes. The first truth that we see here in overcoming the problems that we face in our lives is, first of all, we need to understand that the source of our problems is ourselves. You know, too often we get a problem in our life and we want to blame it on someone else. We want to point the finger, maybe it's at God. You know, maybe it's at, you know, wives, maybe it's your husband. Husband, maybe it's your wives. You know, parents, maybe it's your children. Children, maybe it's your parents. But, you know, we like to blame other people. You know, Israel may have been looking at themselves, looking through, you know, what was going to happen to them, or looking at what was happening to them. You know, they could maybe cry out and say, Lord, why are you allowing this to happen to us? And God says, O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself. Now in verse 8, we looked at God was going to judge them. I will meet thee as a bear that is bereaved of her whelps and will rend the call of their heart, and there will I devour them like a lion. All right, so God was going to bring destruction to their lives, but here in verse 9 he says, O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself. It was because of the sin that they had allowed in their lives that this destruction and this great problem was that they were going to experience in their lives is going to come upon them. And if we're going to overcome the issues that we are facing, we have to stop blaming our problems on someone else. You know, it's interesting. If you go back to, this isn't a new problem, so to speak, Genesis chapter 3. You know, from the very beginning of time, man has been known to do what? Blame problems on someone else. To blame problems on God. Genesis chapter 3. It says in verse 9, And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden. I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. All right, so who does he blame it on? He blames it on his wife and he blames it on God. And the Lord God said unto the woman, "What is this that thou hast done?" And the woman said, "The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." You know, we need to understand where the source of our problems is. In James chapter 1, it teaches us that God does not tempt us with evil. But every man sins when? When he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. James 1:13 says, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." You know, it is time for us to stop blaming our problems on other people and accept the responsibility for our actions. You know, you're having problems in your marriage, don't blame it on your spouse. Don't blame it on someone else. You know, look at your own life and say, "Lord, what am I doing that needs to change?" God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And the first step for Israel to have repentance in their lives is to recognize that they were the source of the problem that they were going through. "O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself." We must understand where this is coming from. Jeremiah 17, verses 9 and 10. Familiar verses. What does it say? It says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to" what? "According to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings." Notice that. To give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Israel was going to go through some great destruction, and who was the source of their problem? Well, it was themselves, the choices that they had made. You know, if we're going to experience victory in ourselves, we need to stop blaming other people. We need to look within us at what God wants to accomplish in our lives, instead of looking at other people and saying, "Look at all the problems they have." It needs to start with us. You know, in the beginning of Israel's history, if we read in the next verse, it talks about, "I will be thy king. Where is any other that may save thee in all thy cities and thy judges of whom thou saidst, give me a king and princes." You know, God warned the people of Israel of what was going to happen when they took a king. But what did they do? Well, they still went ahead with it. You know, and many times God warns us of what's going to happen when we make certain choices. You know, and then we experience it, and it's like, hey, why do we blame God? You know, why do we blame somebody else? Look at ourselves. We need to understand the source of our problems is ourselves. Don't blame it on someone else. We need to secondly see that the solution to our problems is the Lord. All right, the only solution to our problems is the Lord. It says, "O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help." You know, unfortunately, in the land of Israel, who was the person they did not want to turn to? It was the Lord. You know, they wanted to turn to this foreign king and to that foreign king and to this false god and to that false god. But the only one that could solve the situation, the problems, bring a solution to what they were facing was the Lord. And that's where we need to go to as well. Don't blame it on other people. Realize we are the problem. And we need to understand that the Lord is the only one that can solve that issue. What's the first step? Well, we find the first step is submission. It says, "I will be" what? "I will be thy king. All right, what does that mean? I will be thy king. Well, what does a king do? A king gives commands. A king gives orders. All right, but what does a king offer for those commands and orders that are given? Somebody that subjects themselves to a king is also going to gain the what? The favor of that king. All right, they're going to gain the protection that that king has to offer. All right, so, but the first step is submission. I will be thy king. You know, the children of Israel, though, rejected God as their king. In 1 Samuel chapter 8 and verse 7, when the children of Israel came to ask a king of Samuel, let me read the verse here, 1 Samuel 8:7. It says, and the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people and all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. According to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them out of Egypt unto this day, wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods, so do they also unto thee. All right, and so the first step is submission. Is the Lord our King? You know, and why would somebody not want the Lord to be their King? You know, why did Israel not want the Lord to be their King? Well, sometimes people will not make the Lord their King. Why? Because, you know, maybe they see, they see maybe something in the Lord that they think is not going to satisfy. You know, and they go after something else, and they think that's going to satisfy him. And God says to the people of Israel in Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 5, he asks them, thus saith the Lord, what iniquity have your fathers found in me, that they are gone far from me and have walked after vanity and are become vain? You know, what iniquity have you found in me? Well, obviously there's nothing. There's no iniquity found in the Lord. But why did people not want to, you know, follow this perfect king? Well, it's because they want to live life their own way. You know, they want to do their own thing. They think something else is going to bring satisfaction. You know, they think that God's leadership is not going to be best in their lives. And God asks, what iniquity have you found in me? There is no iniquity. He has perfect leadership, and yet people reject his leadership. You know, sometimes people make the excuse, well, if you knew the kind of person I had to live with, you wouldn't want to listen to that person either. You know, but what about your relationship with God? You know, he never leads you in the wrong direction. But how many times do you not follow his direction? So submission. Notice here the next thing. The solution to our problems is the Lord. First of all, there needs to be submission. But then we also find in this passage salvation. God is the author of our salvation. I'm trying to get back to the book of Hosea. All right, it says here, I will be thy king. Where is any other that may save thee in all thy cities? Well, here it really gives the reason for making God the king. There is no other one that can save us from the problems that we are going through. All right, first of all, our salvation. There is no other one that can be our savior. We looked at that, I believe, the last time. You know, Isaiah, look unto me all the ends of the earth and be ye saved. You know, there is no other Savior besides the Lord. And as believers, we need to remember that God is our Savior. He is the only one that can rescue us from the issues that we are facing. Isaiah chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. It says, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. God is our salvation. He is the only solution to our problems. And we recognize that that sorrow that we are experiencing because of the problems we have got ourselves into can be turned into joy when we draw from the wells of those of that salvation. But instead, what happens when people don't turn to the Lord? Well, back in Jeremiah chapter 2 that we looked at, we find what God says about what the children of Israel had turned to. Instead of, you know, drawing joy out of the wells of salvation, notice what it says in Jeremiah chapter 2. Notice Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13. It says, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and what? And hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." You know, you try to find salvation from your problems in any other source than God, all you are going to have is a broken cistern. And what good is a broken cistern? Well, what kind of, how much water can it hold? Well, eventually all that water is going to what? It's going to go out. It's going to be gone. You're going to be dry. You're going to be empty. Or you can choose the salvation that is only found in God, and from His wells of salvation, you will be able to draw out joy as the Holy Spirit works in your life and as you follow His leading in your life. Now, Isaiah 48 and verse 18 states that our peace in our lives is a result of obedience to God. Let me read that verse. It says, "Oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments, then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea." Tonight, do you need to come before God in submission? Tonight, do you need to recognize that God is your salvation? There is none else that you can turn to. But notice what else they need to come to the Lord as king about. It says, "I will be thy king. Where is any other that may save thee in all thy cities?" Well, there is none else. It says, "And thy judges of whom thou saidst, give me a king and princes." All right, so what did they want? Well, they wanted their way over God's way. And notice verse 11, what God did. It says, "I gave thee a king in mine anger," but notice the rest. It says, "and took him away in my wrath." You know, what did Israel need to do? Well, they needed to separate themselves from the false ideas, and it was really their self-will that got them into the mess that they were in. You know, what do people do when they get themselves into a problem? Instead of separating themselves from the idea or from the philosophy, the self-will that got them into the problem, instead, they want to get rid of the problem. But they never get rid of the philosophy that got them into that problem in the first place. And what happens? Well, the problem comes right back. And the children of Israel, what happened? All right, well, God gave them the king in his anger, but what did he also do? He took it away in anger. And, you know, sometimes, you know, we may not be able to change the circumstances, but we can change our response to those circumstances. But what do we want to do? We just want to get rid of the circumstances. But, you know, sometimes God sends those circumstances into our lives. You know, maybe we ask for it. He sends it. And what do we need to do? Well, sometimes we need to recognize, you know what? Instead of just praying that God gets rid of all this out of my life, maybe we need to pray that God shows us how we got into the mess that we're in and enable us to deal with the situation that we are going through. I want to just read just a little bit of what someone stated on this. It says, nations and churches and individuals may put themselves in an evil position, and God may have allowed it in his anger, and yet it may be their wisdom and humility to remain in it until God change it, lest he should take it away, not in forgiveness, but in anger. You know, sometimes we ask for something. He pointed out something else in here. How about God gave them a king in, I gave thee a king in my anger. God, when he is asked for aught amiss, showeth displeasure when he giveth. Hath mercy when he what? When he giveth not. You know, we sometimes there are things that we desire so bad to have, but yet it's not what God wants for us. And when we are living a self-willed life apart from God, in his anger, in his wrath towards us, what will he do? He will give us that very thing that we are asking for. You know, and that is why it is so important for us to live in and walk in humility before God. You know, what did Paul do? He said, I asked the Lord thrice to take something from him. But what was God's response? His response in mercy was to allow that to continue in Paul's life so that Paul would recognize that Christ's grace was sufficient. And so that in his weakness, he would be strong because he was learning to live a life that was dependent upon Christ. And you know, in the kings that they had, what did Israel need to do? Well, they needed to learn to live in dependence upon God. And God had promised them that if they would, he would bless. You know, but what did he end up doing? Well, he ended up taking away the king. But was it because they had gone to God and they wanted God alone to be their king? Well, no. It was in judgment that he gave the king, and it was in, he gave them the king in his anger, and it says he also took him away in his wrath. You know, we need to recognize what got us into the problem. And that is what we need to separate from, not just try to change the circumstances of our lives thinking that that is going to solve our problem. You know, maybe it's a relationship issue, and you think, man, if that person would just get out of my life, this problem would be over. Well, not necessarily. You're still going to have your sinful heart to deal with. And until you change that, that problem is just going to crop up somewhere else. You know, sometimes people think, well, if I could just get, you know, in a different church, well, I wouldn't have this problem. You know, I wouldn't have this problem with the pastor if I could just get a different pastor. Well, you know, they don't understand, but what do? They carry the problem right with them. And we need to realize that what we need to do is allow the Lord to be the king in our lives, and we need to separate ourselves from the false ideas that got us into the problem that we are in, and not just try to change our circumstances. But we also need to realize, let's continue on here, that the sorrows of our problems grow the longer we hang onto those problems. Notice what it says here. It says, the iniquity of Ephraim is bound up. All right? It's like they're laying up treasures. They're binding them up like in a bag. All right? They're storing them up. They're bound up. His sin is hid. His sin is hid. It's interesting. I think this can help shed some light on this verse. If we go to Deuteronomy chapter 32, one of the things that God said would take place as the children of Israel departed from the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 34 is a specific verse, but we'll start reading in verse 29 to get some background. It says, "Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. How should one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight, except their rock had sold them and the Lord had shut them up? For their rock is not as our rock, even our enemies themselves being judges. For their vine is of the vine of Sodom and of the fields of Gomorrah. Their grapes are grapes of gall. Their clusters are bitter. Their wine is the poison of dragons and the cruel venom of ass. Is not this laid up in store with me and sealed up among my treasures? To me belongeth vengeance and recompense. Their foot shall slide in due time. For the day of their calamity is at hand, and the things that shall come upon them make haste." But notice verse 34. "Is not this laid up in store with me and sealed up among my treasures?" All right, so what happens? You know, we continue to live in our sin. We continue to go on in our own way. And what are we storing up, so to speak? Well, there is wrath that is being stored up. You know, sometimes people, they continue on in their sin, thinking that nothing's happening, but they don't understand that the consequences of their sin are being stored up. And someday, it is all going to come crashing down upon them. And so it looks like things, oh, they might be going okay. It's really not as bad as I thought it was going to be. But their iniquity is bound up. His sin is hid. It's being stored up. Back earlier in Deuteronomy chapter 32, it talks about, "But Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat. Thou art grown thick. Thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God, which made him and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation." You know, we need to realize that the sorrows of our problems are going to grow the longer we hang on to them. You know, you don't get that sin out of your life quickly. Well, the consequences don't get smaller. Just because you don't feel the full force of them immediately doesn't mean that the consequences have gone away. Notice verse number 13. It says, "The sorrows of a travailing woman shall" what? "Shall come upon him." All right, so when, you know, a lady is pregnant, okay, does she have the baby right away? Well, obviously not. All right, there's a time period in which that baby grows. All right, and then comes the appropriate time. I mean, there can be, now there are some, you know, maybe, you know, there's smaller pains and they obviously gradually grow, but, you know, at that time of birth, right before that time is when the what? Well, there's that full travail. You know, and sometimes sin is the same way. We don't necessarily always experience the full consequences of our sin immediately. But there is a development that takes place. All right, and then we what? The full consequences of those sins are birthed, so to speak. It says, "The sorrows of a travailing woman shall come upon him." Then it says, "He is an unwise son, for he should not stay long in the place of the breaking forth of children." You know, folks, when that comes upon us, what's many people's response? Do they turn to God? No, they stay there. And God's saying, "Hey, if you were wise, what would you do?" Well, you would turn to God immediately as soon as you start sensing the pain of what is being experienced because of the situation that you've gotten yourself into. The wise person will immediately turn to God, for he should not stay long in the place of the breaking forth of children. But if repentance is not sought immediately, all right, imagine a lady that is trying to birth the child, but but you know, the child is not coming out, or just it's in the middle of those pains, and those pains never depart. Well, what's going to happen to the lady? Well, it's going to be serious issues. And the children of Israel, you know, that what is it? Well, when the birth process is not a what? The actual birth is much shorter than what? The time leading up to it. All right, and when this, you know, this sorrow is coming upon, well, what it needs to be, we need to turn to God immediately. You know, if we don't, when these forces of, when this is the wrath of God is coming upon us, so to speak, when this takes place, don't sit there and wait. Oh, maybe this will just go away. No, that is really the worst thing you can do. Boy, when God is working in your life, when this judgment is coming upon, we must turn to the Lord. The wise person will turn to God rather than sit in the sin and think that the wrath is just going to go away. We must repent while the pain is strong. Really, we ought to repent before the pain ever reaches. Verse 14 says, I will ransom, we see God's mercy in spite of all this terrible news. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. Repentance shall be hid from mine eyes. In other words, God is not going to change. He's not going to turn back from his redemption of their lives. You know, is there a problem that you're facing tonight? There's only one person that you can turn to that can give you the victory in that situation. You know, you can try to blame somebody else for that problem, but that's not going to help. You must look within yourself. You must ask God to search your heart and see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Blaming that problem on someone else is not going to help you at all. Simply thinking that the problem is going to go away is not going to help either. You know, you continue on in your sin, and that sin is going to grow. And the consequences of your sin is going to grow. And if you wait until you start experiencing those consequences, and you just try to run from the situation instead of dealing with what got you in there, is going to be a bad situation for your life to be in. And those pains that you begin to experience, those birth pains, so to speak, that terrible pain, ought to be a great sign that, you know what, I need to repent. I need to turn to the only one that can rescue me from this situation. The one who has the ability to ransom me from the power of the grave, to redeem me from death. You know, God is powerful. You know, if we can entrust the eternal well-being of our souls to Him, you know, why can't we entrust Him to give us victory over the sin, the problems that we face on a daily basis? God is all power. And if we are wise children, we will turn to the one who will never leave us nor forsake us. Let's bow in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray tonight that you would help us, Lord, to examine our lives, and Lord, the problems that we face, Lord, may we not blame them on someone else, but Lord, may we have that poorness of spirit. Lord, that sees our sin. But Lord, recognizes that You are the Savior. Lord, who delights in giving us victory if we will simply come to You in repentance. Lord, making our lives accountable to You as our King. I wonder, with heads bowed and eyes closed tonight, is God working in your life? Now I wonder, how are you facing the problems you're experiencing? Are you blaming them on someone else? Or tonight, has God shown you that, you know what, the issue is not someone else, I'm the issue. And instead of focusing on someone else, I need to realize that I'm the problem. And I need God to work in my life. And that is where it needs to start. Instead of worrying about someone else. Is there anyone tonight say, you know, the Lord has spoken to me about my own self and not blaming others? All right, is there anyone else tonight, Lord's worked in your life? Anyone else? You can put those hands down. I wonder tonight, you know, the first step is obviously recognize we have a problem, but the solution is the Lord. And the Lord can give you victory if you will go to Him. You know, you try, maybe you recognize you have a problem, but you try solving it yourself, you're going to have a broken cistern that holds no water. But you go to the Lord, and you, through prayer, through the Word of God, through the spiritual armor that God has given, seek to get victory. God can give you victory over that issue. And maybe you say tonight, you know, the Lord has spoken to me about how I need to go to Him. Maybe it's submission. And I need to gain the victory that only the Lord can give me in this area that I'm struggling with. Is there anyone like that tonight? The Lord has worked in your life on that point. All right, you can put those hands down. Anyone else? You know, maybe tonight you just need to be woken up to the fact that, you know, you may not be experiencing the full weight of the choices that you're making in the present. But, you know, remember, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And you're laying those things away. You're laying those treasures away, so to speak. And God's wrath is being treasured up as well. And the consequences of your sin are being treasured up. Maybe tonight, it just needs to be a warning to you that, you know what? I better not hang on to sin. I need to get it out of my life as soon as it enters. I wonder, is there anyone tonight that would say, you know, Pastor John, my need tonight is salvation. And that is the real reason that I'm having problems in my life, is because, first of all, I need to get saved. Is there anyone like that tonight? Say, your need is salvation tonight. All right, let's pray. Dear Lord, I just pray that You would work in our lives. Help us to, Lord, learn from this example of the children of Israel. Lord, we thank You that our help, Lord, our hope is in You. And we just pray that we would not be deceived, thinking that, Lord, we can do it on our own. Lord, that will only lead to destruction. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.